Man cannot create life. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Out of nothing, God spoke, and the world came into being. The world was created. God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in the likeness, so that they may rule." When you study nature, when I study nature, there are many things that are incredible in the reality of nature. We realize that God's natural world is just absolutely amazing. And as I think of that, and as I watch the animals and watch vegetation grow, etc., one of the examples that I see this time of year is the movement of the geese as they go south. You know, it's incredible to realize that somehow they know when to move. They know when to pack up and head south. And it's amazing to watch them in their flight and to understand what's going on with that flight, that V shape that they fly in, and the reality that there's not just one leader, but there's one goose at the front. And what happens if you will watch, which I don't know that we can watch long enough to see it happen, but it happens, that goose that's in the front goes back and becomes one of those that follows, and another goose comes forward. And I don't know if you realize what's going on, but that's called drafting. When I rode bicycle across country in a group, that's what we did. We'd draft. There would be a person in the lead, and the others in the group would get down behind, and it was easier for us to ride our bikes because that person in the front was cutting the wind. Well, that's what the geese do, and they rotate, just as we did on bicycles. The front person then dropped to the back, and another person would take the lead. God's creation is amazing. You know, there are thousands upon thousands of examples, like the geese, that are miraculous truths that are a part of our natural world. All of this being true, there's nothing in the world that can stand up to the amazing reality of humankind who've been created in the image of God. The truth is that God is still involved in this process of giving life to persons from the time of conception through birth and coming into this world in which we live. From Psalm 139, David says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before any of them came to be." I want to go to Psalm 139, and I want to read the first 18 verses of that psalm. And I'll come to that portion as I read. And we want to understand what we're talking about today in terms of this idea that God made me. "You searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We have been created in the image of God. We are His creation. God established this incredible plan of our creation, our humanity, our being in the image of God. He created this incredible plan that involves two people, man and woman. This plan that is born in relationship between two parties coming together begins at conception and grows to birth. God created us from relationship and for relationship. We've been created out of the relationship with God and for a relationship with God. As I thought of this and thought about talking about my creation, the fact that God made me, I was brought back again to this idea of relationship. It's in relationship. It's for relationship that God created us. He didn't create us just to be something else in His creation, but He created us for a relationship. We remember in the garden that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, they went and they hid, but God came looking for them. God created man for relationship. It's in relationship that we create. Well, no, we don't really create on our own. God's working in us and through us to create other human beings. We've been created for relationship, and this has begun at conception. Life began when God decided to put some dust together and create mankind. Now, just a little bit of humor, which I'm not very good at, don't do much, but comes once in a while. Yesterday morning in our men's Bible study, one of our men shared this story that comes out of our church here. Some of you would have known the Landises, Henry and Faith Landis. They were part of this church for many years. Henry has passed. Faith is living in the nursing home. She doesn't know what comes from day to day. She has that disease of dementia that, you know, comes to many people. But Faith was a Sunday school teacher here of children. And one morning she decided to tell this little joke. So she told the kids this joke, and they related it to their dad, and the dad related it to us. So there was a mom whose son, you know, was a normal young boy, girls, he was a boy, and mom said, I want you to clean your room. So the son cleaned his room up, and mom came to check it out. Everything looked great. And then she pulled up the edge of the covers on the bed and looked underneath, and there were all these dust balls. And she said to her son, what's this? You did a nice job cleaning the rest of your room. Why this? And the little boy said, Well, I'm waiting to see if God will create a man out of that. My punchline isn't very good, is it? Oh, well. But God created us out of dust. And an amazing, miraculous, incredible creation we are. God created us with incredible potential. God made humankind with a potential that exceeds all the rest of his creation. We are unlike anything else in all of God's creation. We have been created in God's image. God created us with a potential that has possibilities that are beyond anything that we can hardly imagine. And yet we are seeing the reality of that potential come to life every day. Comes to life in many, many ways. In our days, you know, it's all of this technology. You know, it's amazing what technology can do and does. You know, who created that? You guys did. We did. Man did. God created us with unbelievable, incredible potential and possibilities. Every person born into this world, it doesn't matter who they are, has been created with potential and possibility. Our granddaughter Sterling was born with some things that aren't normal to most kids. She has some learning disabilities and some physical disabilities. But guess what? She was created also with potential and possibility. She's not without the possibility of making a difference in our world. Every person, no matter who they are, has been created with that potential and that possibility. All of this is evidence of God's glory. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am made with the possibility and potential of creative, life-giving action and activity. So, why do I often fail? Why do I often feel like I'm not very worthwhile? Why do I often feel like what I have to give isn't much? It's the deception of Satan. You see, Satan doesn't want us to realize who we are. Satan wants to blind us to the reality of God's involvement in this process of life, the giving of life, the creation of life. Satan doesn't want us to see and understand who we are as these incredible beings created by God's hand. Satan doesn't want us to realize our connection with the Creator. So, those who stand for abortion, the killing of babies before they're born, they don't understand. They don't understand the reality of the potential of this child that has been conceived. That's Satan's work. Satan is trying to convince people that there is no life there. Satan is trying to convince people that this life that's there really, you know, is not worthy of being born, of coming to life. Satan doesn't want us to realize the connection between God and life. You know, there are some people who are Christians who don't grasp the full reality of God's connection to man, God's connection to the creative relationship that produces life. That's Satan's work. And Satan wants to destroy the relationship that we have with God and destroy the relationship that parents have with children. Yeah, divorce is devastating to families and to children. There are so many. There's some of you here whose lives have been impacted by the devastation of divorce, the breaking of relationships, okay? And this is what we're talking about, okay? You know, abortion cuts out, it breaks off that relationship that could be. But guess what? Divorce does something similar. It destroys relationships between parents and children, parent and parent. When divorce comes and I'm contacted and someone wants to talk to me, if there aren't children, I kind of sigh a relief, because at least that part of a relationship hasn't been impacted. But there are so many where that's true. This is the work of Satan, folks. Satan wants to destroy relationships. Parent to child, me to God, part of what's happening. Satan does not want us to take responsibility then, the responsibility of ruling that God created us for. Have you been listening? Have I been saying it clearly enough? That we're created as incredible beings with incredible potential and possibilities. And what did God say? God said, I created you to rule over my creation. You see, we haven't been created for no purpose, but we're created for a purpose. We're created for the purpose of ruling this world that God put us in. We have a responsibility. We have work to do. We haven't just simply been created to be living here and living off this wonderful world, but we're created with a purpose, for a reason, a responsibility that is ours. Satan doesn't want us to realize our potential. He doesn't want us to realize the possibility of doing positive, good things that make a difference in a positive way in our world. Satan wants to destroy it. When I listen to Satan's lies, I come to believe that I'm less than I am. That's Satan's deception. And you've heard me talk about the fact that I've struggled with this from time to time. I'm the second in my family, the sister who is 2 years older than me, who was perfect. You know, she played the piano beautifully. My mom wanted me to learn, so she sent me to piano lessons. It lasted about 6 months. My sister was a straight A student. I struggled in school. You know, B's and C's and D's, except in PE. I got A's in PE. But Satan used those kinds of things to deceive me, to make me believe I wasn't as special as I am. Now, the good news is what we've been singing about this morning, the love of God. You see, God understood and understands that this is the struggle that we live with. This is the battle that we face. And some of us face it with more struggle than others. But the good news is that God loves us. And God wants to redeem our deception from Satan. He wants to destroy that deception and bring us back to the place where we understand and know how special we are as his created beings. Therefore, God sent his Son in a miraculous and wonderful way to go to the cross. God sent his one and only Son. How much are you loved? How much am I loved? How much does God want us to realize redemption? Realize a new understanding about who we are as persons who've been created by him with incredible possibilities? He sent his only Son. He sent his only Son to die. And Jesus was willing. Jesus willingly came. See, God loves us so incredibly. God wants us to realize how wonderful we are, how much potential we have, what the possibilities are when we understand and know that. In the midst of my self-doubt, I've come to understand who I am as a person created by God. See, I'm valued for relationship. God wants a relationship with me. That's why Jesus came. I'm valued. God wants me. He wants me. He wants my relationship. I'm valued for a purpose. God didn't create me just to go shoot a basketball into a hoop and jump around and celebrate and have somebody slap me on the back and say, "Wow, you did great." But God created me for a purpose that has been many faceted. One of the things I want to encourage you today with is to take time to look at your own life and to look at the many facets of your life. There's some that you look at and you say, "Oh man, I wish it hadn't been like that." But guess what? You're going to see places where God has shown his light upon the creation of you, and there's a reflection that is beautiful. That's incredible. I look back over my life and, you know, there are numbers of places where, you know, I think of individuals who God has allowed me to interact with, people that I have no idea where they are now. One of the guys was a man who was in jail in Ashland when we were pastoring there. And this man was, his name was John. And he was in jail because drunk and disorder. And I went in, visited him, and worked with him. He had all of his belongings in this van. And he was getting out of jail, and he said, "Well, will you take me to get my van and all my stuff?" And sure, John, I'll take you to do that. So I took him. We sat down. We ate a meal. I bought him a meal, and I took him. And there's this old van. I remember the color. You know, it's that kind of color that you spray before you paint. You know, it's that color. And I took him to this van, and I looked in, and oh my goodness! I mean, it was packed full of all kinds of stuff. It wouldn't start. I have jumper cables. We got it started. I gave John $20 and said, "John, let me know if I can help you again." I never saw John again. I have no idea what happened to John. But guess what? John's one of those places that God used me. Never made the honor roll in college. My dad said, "I'll give you $100 if you do." I never got it done. But guess what? It doesn't matter. God made me. special, with possibilities, with potential. I've tried to do the best I can. I'm sure I've failed many places. I want you to look at your life. I want you to take a trip back along memory lane. I want you to think about the Johns in your life. I better be careful how I use that term. Sorry. But think back along your life's journey and the people in your life, the situations in your life where you can say, you know what, I've been a failure in many places, but God used me here. And allow that truth and that reality of what we've talked about today and what we've seen in these verses to be a motivation to move you ahead with a life that makes a difference in other people's lives and in our world. Part of that's voting. Part of it's going to be the phone call that you get this week from someone. Part of it's going to be who knows what. Could be a myriad of things that come. God made me. God values me. God has a purpose for my life, for me. Therefore, guess what? I'm going to do the best I can to get after it. I want you to do that also. Get after it, because you've been created, made by God, and you have possibilities. You have potential. We're going to close today with another one of these songs about the love of God. Oh, the deep, deep love. Stand with me as we close.